إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah. Then last week we had the second point, the point that occurs on page 28 of the explanation. نَقُولُ فِي تَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ مُؤْتَقِدِينَ بِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لا شريك له. That we say with regard to Tawheed of Allah, holding as our creed and belief, due to the guidance to correctness granted by Allah, that Allah is one, having no partner. Then with regard to questions on last week, then who can remember the explanation of the word Tawheed in the Arabic language? The word Tawheed in the Arabic language. It's a verbal noun from the verb wahada, to make something one. And who can remember the explanation of Tawheed in the Islamic legislation? I'm singling out Allah, the Most High, with regard to worship and avoiding the worship of everything besides Him. We also had that Tawheed has been categorized by the scholars who have studied the Quran and have extracted from their study that Tawheed is of three categories. Or three branches. Who can remember these three categories of Tawheed? Who can remember the first of these, Tawheed ar-Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Lordship? Who can briefly explain what that covers? Tawheed ar-Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Lordship. Who can briefly mention what that covers? Whose actions? It is briefly to the Tawheed of Allah with regard to His actions, with regard to His actions of being the Creator, His creating, giving life, giving death, giving provision, and so on, being in control of all the affairs, and so on. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, what does that cover? Tawheed with regard to the people's actions, their actions towards Allah, meaning their acts of worship, the outward ones and the inward ones. And what about Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat? What does that cover? No. affirming whatever attributes of perfection Allah has affirmed for himself, or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has affirmed for him, and negating whatever deficiencies Allah has negated for himself, or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam negated for him. We had a point that the ayahs in the Quran which mention Allah's lordship, Allah's creation of the heavens and the earth, his creation of mankind, and so on, these ayahs are mentioned as a proof and as an evidence. As a proof and evidence for what? No. As the brother mentioned, as a proof for Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, as a proof that Allah alone should be worshipped. So the ayahs where Allah mentions the different aspects of the creation, of his creating everything, creating the whole creation, and being the Lord of the whole creation, and its provider, its sole provider, the only one who gives life and death. All these ayahs are a proof that therefore, he alone is the one who deserves to be worshipped. With regard to a person who believes in that, in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, a person who believes that indeed Allah is his Lord, Allah alone is his creator, his sole provider, Allah alone is the one who gives him life and death, and that Allah alone is in control of the universe. What do we say about such a person? What is the ruling on such a person? No. What we say about such a person, that contrary to the people of innovation, that is not sufficient to make him a Muslim. That is not sufficient to enter him into Islam. Even if he believes all of that, because the pagans of Quraysh, those whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought against, they believed in all of that. But they were still fought against, and they did not enter into Islam by that, until they, except for those who affirm uluhiyyah, Allah's sole right to worship, and thereupon worship of Allah alone. The author, rahimahullah, when he mentioned this, that we say with regard to Allah's tawheed, holding as our creed, he said, bitawfiqillah, that we hold this as our creed, bitawfiqillah, by Allah's tawfiq, by Allah's grant of success. Why did he make that point, or what's the point that was explained by Sheikh Al-Fawzan, that he said, we believe this by Allah's tawfiq, by Allah's grant of success. What was the point that the Sheikh extracted from this?
It's because as a result of the full and the whole of Allah, and not as a result of your actions.
Yeah. It's showing the servant's submission in declaring that this is his creed, affirming that came about, this being upon the correct creed, comes about because Allah has granted that. So it's the servant's statement of submission before Allah. That it's not a person doesn't by his own efforts and own striving and own ability come to be upon the correct creed, but rather because Allah has guided him to that. With regard to the last phrase that Allah is one, la sharika lah. Allah is one, having no partner. We mentioned a point from Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, that our statement that la sharika lah, there is no partner for Allah, this will not be completed except by denying three forms of shirk. What were these three forms of shirk that must be denied? Mean shirk with regard to the three forms of tawheed, shirk with regard to Allah's lordship, shirk with regard to his worship, his uluhiyyah, his sole right to worship, and shirk with regard to his names and attributes. And we had examples of shirk in each one of them. Who can remember the example of shirk with regard to Allah's lordship? As an illustration, and Sheikh Al-Albani gave examples to illustrate each one of these forms of shirk. So what's the example that he gave with regard to shirk, with regard to Allah's lordship?
Example of shirk in regard to Allah's rububiyyah, and it was mentioned that servant creates their own action.
Yeah, you know.
Believing that Allah hasn't got full control of the Qadr, the servant has certainly overruled.
No. Indeed, Shaykh al-Albani mentioned that from that is declaring that there is another creator along with Allah. Holding there is a creator along with Allah, such as the saying of the Magians, the Majus, those who hold that there is a creator of good and a creator of evil. And he went on to explain, and likewise, the saying of the Qadariya resembles that saying, which is why they're described as being the Majus of this Ummah. They affirm that man creates his own actions. So it's as if they're affirming another creator besides Allah. Who can remember an example that Shaykh al-Albani gave for shirk with regard to uluhiyya, Allah's right to worship? So I'm picking on people. We mentioned seeking help from others, seeking help from the dead, seeking help from other than Allah, from the prophets and the righteous, those who are in their graves. Just in case some brothers get surprised, questions are not limited to those who put their hands up. Questions are for anyone who is here, inshallah. Who can mention then shirk with regard to Allah's names and attributes, an example of shirk with regard to Allah's names and attributes? An example that Shaykh al-Albani mentioned last week. He mentioned as an example of that, people claiming knowledge of the hidden and unseen, which is Allah alone knows the hidden and the unseen, the ghaib. So any who claim that there are those who have knowledge of the hidden and unseen, then that is shirk with regard to Allah's names and attributes. And then with regard to this week, then moving on to point number 3, he continued, وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْلُهُ, and there is nothing like him. And there is nothing like him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is taken from the saying of Allah the Most High, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, Surah Ash-Shura, the 42nd surah, ayah 11. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, and there is nothing like him. I mean, there is nothing like Allah. He said, and also the saying of Allah the Most High, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, Surah Al-Ikhlas, the 112th surah, ayah 4. With the explanation, and there is none equal or comparable to him, meaning to Allah. And his saying, he the Most High, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا, Surah Al-Baqarah, the 2nd surah, ayah 22. With the explanation, so do not set up any rivals for Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning those who are alike or similar to him. And he quotes a fourth evidence for this point. He said, and his saying, he the Most High, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّا, Surah Maryam, the 19th surah, ayah 65. With the explanation, do you know of any namesake for him? Do you know of any namesake for Allah? And as Shaykh As-Sa'di, Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir As-Sa'di, rahimahullah, said in tafsir of this ayah, that the ayah is in the form of a question. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّا, do you know of any namesake for Allah? It's in the form of a question. But what is meant is a denial, a negation. هَذَا اسْتِفْهَامٌ بِمَعْنَى النَّفِي, it's in the form of a question, but what it means is a denial. There is no namesake for Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning anyone like him, one who can share his name, he the perfect and most high. So he's just quoted four separate proofs for this point. La shay'a mithluhu. And there is nothing like Allah. Then he said, so at tamthil, there being anyone like him, and at tashbih, there being anyone resembling him, both of these are negated for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And these two words here, at tamthil and at tashbih, Shaykh Yahya al-Hajuri, hafidhahullah, when he came and he was teaching us the book, if we remember those who were here, then he mentioned that at tamthil, declaring anyone to be like Allah, that means declaring that there is anything or anyone who is totally like Allah. And at tashbih means declaring that there is someone who resembles Allah, meaning in some aspects. So the first one, declaring like, to be someone like Allah, or secondly, that's at tamthil, or at tashbih, declaring that there is someone or something which resembles Allah in some aspects. So Shaykh al-Fawzan here, he said, both of these, at tamthil, declaring there is anyone like Allah, and at tashbih, declaring there is anyone resembling him, both of these are negated for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So no one from his creation resembles him. So this is what is obligatory, that we affirm whatever Allah has affirmed for himself, and we hold that as our creed. However, we do not hold that he resembles anyone from his creation, nor do we hold that he is like his creation, he the perfect and most high. So the Shaykh makes the point here that indeed we affirm for Allah whatever he has affirmed for himself. With regard to attributes, we affirm that for him. However, as he said, along with the fact that we affirm his attributes, we do not hold that anyone from his creation resembles him. Or rather, we do not hold that anyone from his creation resembles him. He said this is what is obligatory, that we affirm whatever Allah has affirmed for himself, and we hold it as our creed and belief. And we do not hold that he resembles anyone from his creation. And we do not hold that he is like his creation, he the perfect and most high. And he said, so this contains a refutation of the mushabbiha. This point contains a refutation of the mushabbiha. Those who believe that Allah is like his creation. Those who do not differentiate between the creator and the creation. And this is a false and futile position. So he's mentioning refutation of the mushabbiha, those who hold that the creator, Allah, is like his creation. So this is a false and futile position. Then he said, and opposite to this position is the position of the mu'attila, those who negate Allah's attributes, those who deny Allah's attributes. They are the opposite extreme. He said, those who go beyond limits in declaring Allah free. Those who go beyond limits in tanzih, declaring Allah free. To such an extent that they deny for Allah that which he has affirmed for himself with regard to names and attributes. Doing so as they claim to flee away from declaring him to be like his creation. So Shaykh al-Fawzan here has mentioned these two extreme groups. On the one hand, the first group, those who declare that Allah resembles his creation, Allah in his attributes, he resembles the creation in their attributes. And at the opposite extreme, those who deny Allah's attributes, the mu'attila. The first group, the mushabbiha. The second group, the mu'attila. Those who are so afraid of affirming his attributes that they start to deny his attributes. The mu'attila. The Shaykh said, so both of these two groups go beyond the limits. The mu'attila, those who deny his attributes, they go beyond limits in tanzih. They go beyond limits in declaring him free and in denying any likeness. Whereas the other group, the mushabbiha, those who declare Allah's attributes to be like those of the creation, they go beyond the limits in affirmation. I mean, they affirm the attributes but go beyond limits. They affirm Allah's attributes but then go on to say, but they're like the attributes of the creation. And the Shaykh said, whereas the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they take the moderate and middle position in between these two deviant extremes. The people of the Sunnah take the middle route. So they affirm for Allah whatever he affirmed for himself in accordance with what befits his majesty. Without tashbih, without declaring his attributes to be like the attributes of the creation. And without ta'til, without denying his attributes. Doing so in accordance with the saying of Allah the Most High, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ Surah Ash-Shura, the 42nd Surah, Ayah 11. So the Shaykh said that the position of the people of the Sunnah is in accordance with this ayah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ There is nothing like him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So this ayah gives a tremendous principle for the people of the Sunnah. And this ayah should be memorized by everyone who hasn't already memorized it and should be understood. There is, with the explanation, there is nothing like him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so his saying, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There is nothing like him. This negates and denies any tashbih, any resemblance with the creation. So the first part of the ayah denies any resemblance with the creation. And his saying in the second part, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And he, Allah, is the all-hearing one, the all-seeing one. This is a negation of ta'atil. It's a denial and negation of those who deny and negate his attributes. So this is the position which the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah proceed upon. So this ayah is a refutation of both of these extreme groups. It's a refutation of those who say that Allah's attributes are like those of the creation, the mushabbiha, because of the first part of the ayah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There is nothing like him. And it's a refutation of the second deviant group at the other extreme, the mu'attila, those who negate his attributes, those who flee away from affirming attributes for Allah. Because they say, if we affirm for Allah attributes, then the creation have attributes like that. So we'll be met, if we affirm these attributes, such as Allah's face, his hand, and so on and so on, if we affirm these things for Allah, then it says if we're making him like the creation. So we'll negate, we'll deny these things, we won't affirm these attributes for Allah. So the second part of the ayah is a refutation of them. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. I mean, he is the one who has the attribute of hearing and seeing. So this ayah is a refutation of both of these extreme groups and a proof for the people of the Sunnah, those who are upon the middle path. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan finished by saying, And so therefore it is said, Al-mu'attilu ya'budu adaman wal-mushabbihu ya'budu sanaman wal-muwahhidu ya'budu ilaham wahidan fardan samadan This little phrase that summarizes this whole point that we just had, which is why it is said that the mu'attil, and we should be aware of these terms, the mu'attil, one who negates Allah's attributes, and the mushabbih, the one who declares his attributes to be like the attributes of the creation. So as it is said, Al-Mu'attil, the one who negates Allah's attributes, worships something which does not exist. And the Mushabbih, the one who declares Allah's attributes to be like those of the creation, he worships an idol. And the Muwahhid, the person upon true Tawheed, he worships the sole one who deserves worship, the one who is single, the independent Lord and Master. Al-Mu'attilu ya'budu adaman, wal-Mushabbihu ya'budu sanaman, wal-Muwahhidu ya'budu ilahan wahidan fardan samadan. This phrase neatly summarizes what we just had. The one who, just to explain it, that the first person, the Mu'attil, the one who denies Allah's attributes and doesn't affirm any attributes for Allah, therefore he worships that which has no attributes, something that doesn't exist, something that does not exist. So he worships something non-existent. The one who flees away from affirming any attributes for Allah, he worships something that does not exist. Whereas the second one, the one who affirms Allah's attributes, but then goes on to say, and his attributes are like the attributes of the creation, then in effect, he is worshipping an idol, because Allah's attributes don't resemble the attributes of the creation. Whereas the third one, the person upon Tawheed, he is the one who worships Allah alone. Just briefly, with regard to what Shaykh al-Albani said in his notes here, he mentioned about this point, وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْلُهُ, and there is nothing like him. He said, this is one of the fundamentals from the fundamental principles of Tawheed, which is that with regard to Allah the Most High, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there is nothing like him. لَا فِي ذَاتِهِ وَلَا فِي صِفَاتِهِ وَلَا فِي أَفْعَالِهِ, there is nothing whatever like Allah, neither in his self, his that, nor in his attributes. I mean, there's nothing like Allah with regard to Allah's self. And there is nothing like Allah with regard to his sifat. There's nothing like Allah with regard to Allah's attributes. And there is nothing like Allah with regard to his actions. He said, however, the innovators and the people of Ta'wil, those who twist Allah's attributes, they take a principle by which they deny many of Allah's attributes, He the Exalted and Most High. So whenever their hearts are too constricted to believe in one of His attributes, He the Majestic and Most, He the Mighty and Majestic, then they perform ta'wil, they twist that attribute and try and destroy it and deny it. He said, so they deny an attribute and they use as an evidence for what they are doing his saying, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. I mean, those who deny Allah's attributes say, we won't affirm for Allah a hand, we won't affirm for Allah a face, we will not affirm that Allah is ascended over his throne, we will not affirm such and such and such and such, he's descending. All of these things, the excuse that they do it, Shaykh al-Albani said, they use as an excuse his saying, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there is nothing like him. He said, pretending to be ignorant of the end of the ayah, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So this ayah gathers, declaring him free, along with affirming his attributes. So whoever wishes to be safe and sound in his creed, then he should declare Allah the Most High to be free from any resemblance to the creation without explaining his attributes away and without denying his attributes. Rather, he should affirm for Allah the Mighty and Majestic with regard to attributes everything which he has affirmed for himself in his book or occurs in a hadith of his prophet without declaring that the creator resembles creation. This is the position of the Salaf. and the author, rahimahullah, was upon it, following on from Abu Hanifa and the rest of the Imams. As a further point, then Sheikh Yahya al-Hajuri, hafidhullah, when he was over here, then he made a point as well. Amongst the points he made was that at tashbih, declaring that there is a resemblance between the Creator in his attributes and the creation in their attributes. He said, tashbih is of two categories. Firstly, tashbih of the creation with the Creator. I mean, declaring something from the creation to be like the Creator. And he gave us an example of that, like the action of the Christians. Those who declared resemblance between Isa alayhi salam and Allah. So the first category is declaring something or someone from the creation to have attributes like those of the Creator, like the Christians did with regard to Isa alayhi salam. And the second category of tashbih is declaring that the attributes of the Creator, declaring Allah's attributes to be like attributes of the creation. And this is the practice of the mushabbiha. Declaring, who declare that Allah's attributes, they affirm Allah's attributes, but then go on to say, and his attributes are like those of the creation. And he mentioned that one of the first of these people was called Dawood al-Jawaribi, who actually came out and stated that he affirmed for Allah all his attributes, and he affirmed that Allah's attributes are just like those of human beings. And he said that he affirms for Allah all human attributes, except one or two. Except, he said, the beard and the private parts. Apart from that, he affirmed every human attribute as being an attribute of Allah. This is the saying of the mushabbiha. And as for this person, then he mentioned that Dawood, this person, Dawood al-Jawaribi, then the scholars of his time, the time of the Tabi'een, scholars such as Ibn Lahi'a, they gave the judgment that he should be executed. And however he died, this person died when he died before he was executed. So that was the position of the mushabbiha. And with regard to the next point in the book, point number 4, وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ, and there is nothing which causes him to be incapable. There's nothing which causes Allah to become incapable. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is an affirmation of the perfection of his power and ability. I mean, when we say about Allah, nothing makes him incapable, then we're affirming his perfect power and ability. And he gives 3 ayahs as evidence for this point. He said, Allah the Most High said, وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th surah, ayah 120. And Allah has full power over everything. And he the Most High said, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا, Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, ayah 45. And Allah was and is fully capable of everything. And he the Most High said, and he quotes the 3rd ayah, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا, Surah Fatir, ayah 44. With the explanation, he, Allah, always was and is all-knowing, all-powerful. عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا, all-knowing, all-powerful. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the term of Allah's name, Al-Qadir, the all-powerful one, Al-Qadir means the one who is extremely powerful. So his power, he the perfect and most high, is such that there is nothing that can cause him to be unable. Whenever he wants something, then he just says to it, kun, be, and it is. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, so this contains affirmation of the qudra, the power and ability of Allah the Mighty and Majestic. And it contains affirmation that his power includes and covers everything. Then he said, and as for the term which some authors use about Allah, إِنَّهُ عَلَى مَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ, I mean, there's some people when they write books, they write in them with regard to Allah that Allah has full power over whatever he wants. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this wording is an error to say about Allah that Allah has full power over whatever he wants. This is an error. He said, because Allah did not restrict his power to his will. I mean, Allah didn't say about himself that he has power over what he wants. He didn't restrict it to what he want, to his will or his wish. Rather, he said about himself that he is ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah has full power over everything. So therefore, you should say that which Allah, the Perfect and Most High, said about himself. You shouldn't restrict his power with a statement like that. He said, this only occurs, a similar statement only occurs in the saying of Allah the Most High, وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ إِذَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ, Surah Ash-Shura, the 42nd Surah, Ayah 29, with the explanation, and Allah has full power to gather them, the people, all together, when he wishes. إِذَا شَاءَ قَدِيرٌ, Allah has full power to gather the mankind together when he wishes. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, because the gathering of the creation has a certain time in the future, and he is fully able to gather them at that time, meaning the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth. So Shaykh al-Fawzan is making mention that this ayah is not a proof for those people who use this phrase here. The ayah doesn't mean that Allah has the power to gather the people if he wants to. It doesn't mean that. It means that when he wishes, which is on the day of judgment, then he has the full power to gather the people. So this ayah cannot be a proof for that saying of the people that we should say about Allah, he has full power over whatever he wishes or wants. Rather, we say about him, he has full power over everything, and we don't restrict his power. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he the Most High said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَثَّ فِيهِمَا مِنْ دَابَّةِ وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ إِذَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ. This same ayah from Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, Ayah 29. So he gives the first part of the ayah to make clear what is meant by the ayah. He said, quotes the ayah with the explanation, and from his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and whatever creatures he has created and spread within them. And he has full power to gather them when he wishes. So this ayah is not meant as a restriction of Allah's power, that he's only powerful over whatever he wants to be powerful over. That is not the correct understanding. As for, finally on this point, then Sheikh Yahya al-Hajuri, hafidhullah, again when he was over here, he said about this point, وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ, and there is nothing which causes Allah to be incapable. He said, this is a nafi, this is a denial or a negation. It's a denial of something for Allah. There is nothing that makes him incapable. He said, this is a denial. But it does not, what is meant by it is not a mere denial. Because denial on its own is not, from the belief of the Ahlus Sunnah. Rather, it is the position of the innovators. So he made a point here that we had also in Aqidah al-Wasitiyah, that as for the people of the Sunnah, then they are not people who, when they speak about their Lord, speak about Allah, they just give a list of things which Allah is not. Allah is not this, and He is not that. Allah is not this, and nor is He that. He is not this, nor is He this, nor is He this. They give a long list of things which Allah is not. And you'll hardly find them affirming anything at all. They hardly ever say, but He is this, or He has this attribute. So this denial, in detail, is the position of the people of innovation. Where Shaykh Yahya made clear, and Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah before him, made clear, as for the people of the Sunnah, then their way is the way of the Qur'an, which gives a general denial of certain things for Allah, and gives a detailed affirmation of attributes for Him. And whenever there is a denial, then the denial is there to affirm something which is its perfect opposite. So he makes the same point. In this point here, that same principle applies. وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ, and there is nothing which causes Allah to be incapable, he said. So this denial is there because of affirmation of its perfect opposite. I mean, we deny that there is anything to make Allah incapable because we affirm the perfect opposite for that, for Allah. We don't just say He's incapable, rather we affirm His perfect opposite, which we affirm Allah's perfect power. I mean, there's nothing that renders Him incapable because of His perfect power, the perfection of His power and ability. So that is the position of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. That when we deny something like this, it's only because we're affirming the perfect opposite. Which in this case is when we say about Allah that there's nothing that makes Him incapable, there's nothing that causes Him to be incapable, then that is because, as the Shaykh started off by saying, it contains an affirmation of the perfection of His power and ability. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? With regard to the point, a brother's just making a nice point. Obviously, as we said, the explanation, the scholars have praised the explanation of Ibn Abi al-Izz, his explanation about Tahawiyyah. But it's excellent and is the best explanation, but it's rather long, and there's some difficult points in there, which is why some of the reasons we chose Sheikh al-Fawzan's explanation. But amongst the excellent points here, with regard to Tashbih, he makes, as the brother said, an excellent point here, that affirming attributes for Allah, when the creation have the like of those attributes, for example, affirming that Allah is the all-knowing, when we at the same time affirm that the creation has knowledge, and affirming that Allah has sight, when the creation has sight, and affirming that Allah has a hand, when the creation have hands. This fact is what leads the mu'attila, that's what leads them into denying these certain attributes. Because they say, if we affirm for Allah a hand, then we are amongst the creation, we have hands as well. So if we affirm a hand for Allah, that means we're declaring Him like the creation. And if we affirm for Allah a face, then the creation, amongst the creation we have faces. So if we affirm a face for Allah, then we'll be making Him like the creation. So what we'll do, what they do as a conclusion is, so therefore we'll deny any hand for Allah, and we'll deny any face for Allah, and so on with regard to other attributes as well. They say, in that way, we'll stay clear of making the Creator like the creation. So, Sheikh al-Fawzan made the point here, and the people of the Sunnah make the point that this is not the correct way whatsoever. And the same argument of theirs, it will end up, you'll end up denying all of Allah's attributes. And even at the end of the day, you'll end up denying Allah's existence. Because Allah exists, but the creation exists as well. So on that same argument, they'll end up denying even Allah's existence, which is obviously clear kufr, which no one will even doubt about. So he made the point that Ibn Abil Izz, in his explanation, he made a very nice point about this, that affirming attributes for Allah, when the creation have attributes, in no way means that we're affirming that the Creator is like the creation. So he says, just because, he said, Allah has affirmed for himself attributes, when the creation have attributes also, such as that Allah is Hay, living, Allah is Alim, mean attributes which the creation have as well. Allah is living, and the creation have the attribute of life. Allah is knowing, Alim, and the creation have the attribute of knowledge. And so on and so on. Then he mentions a list of these attributes: Qadir, having ability; Ra'uf, being compassionate; Rahim, being merciful; Aziz, one having might; Hakim, having wisdom; Sami, the one who is all hearing, Allah having hearing; Basir, having sight, and so on. He mentions attributes which Allah affirms for himself, whereas the creation have attributes as well. Then he mentions different ayahs where these same attributes are also affirmed for the creation. And he makes the point, which is the important principle that we have to keep in mind, that when we affirm an attribute for Allah, then we affirm that attribute as befitting Allah's majesty, as being an attribute that befits the Creator. So when we affirm for Allah that He is Hayy, the Living One, then we affirm that He is the Living One as befits the Creator. I mean, a life which befits the Creator, a life which is without end and without beginning, a perfect life. And likewise with regard to Allah, the rest of Allah's attributes, that we affirm an attribute for Allah as befits His majesty. And when we affirm an attribute for the creation, then Al-Shaykh Yahya also made the same point, that when we affirm the attribute for the creation, we affirm it as befits the creation and befits their deficiency. So when we affirm life for the creation, then we affirm a life which is deficient, a life which they didn't have before a certain stage, and a life which will come to an end. And when we affirm for the creation knowledge, we affirm knowledge which they didn't have before, knowledge which they had to gain slowly by stages, which grew, and then which passes away and will end. So we affirm for them knowledge which befits them and befits their deficiency from the creation. So what we affirm for Allah is something different to what we affirm for the creation. We affirm for Allah perfect attributes that befit His majesty. And when we affirm for the creation, we affirm attributes as befits their deficiency as created beings. And Sheikh Yahya made the point to make it clear it, where he said these people who deny Allah's attributes, for example those who say we can't affirm a face for Allah because then we'd be making Him like the Creator. He said, then what about amongst the creation? If you said to a person that your face is like the face of a dog, the person would not accept it. One of these people, if you said to these deniers, your face is like the face of a dog, he would not just nod his head and agree with you, yeah, you're right, my face is just like a dog's face. He would get angry and he would say, how dare you say such a thing, that my face is nothing like the face of a dog, that the dog looks ugly and squat nose and the like, and my face is, Allah has made my face much better than that. So he said they realize what a great distinction and difference there is within the creation between the faces of people, the faces of dogs, the faces of clocks, the faces of a cliff, and so on. So that this is just within the creation, that within the creation faces differ, then how about the Creator of all? That when we affirm a face for Him, we affirm a face that is not like the face of the creation, rather a face that befits His majesty, a face that befits the Creator, not like those of His creation. And the same with regard to the rest of the attributes. And whoever wishes and is able, then they can go back to the explanation of Ibn Abilaz. Going a bit here and there. Yeah. And the brother just gave me an example here of something else that Sheikh Yahya made to illustrate the same point, that with regard to life, that these deniers of certain of Allah's attributes on this same argument, and they, of course, they cannot deny, or they should not deny, Allah's life. They can't come along and say, well, we the creation are living, so therefore we deny that Allah is living, because if we do affirm that Allah is living, then we'll be making about the creation. This is an incorrect argument. And the brother said that Sheikh Yahya made the point. He said, we as human beings, creation, are living. And plants, which are also from the creation, are living. But how different is the life of people to the life of plants? It's not the same whatsoever. So how on earth can these people think that when by affirming life or any other attribute for Allah means that we're declaring Him to be like His creation? It's far from the case. So when we deny there being anyone like Allah, and we deny any deficiency for Allah, it does not lead us to the opposite extreme, which is denying, or it does not lead us into denying His attributes. Rather, we affirm His attributes, but we say about His attributes that He does not resemble His creation in His attributes or in anything else. No. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.